con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
We're ready for some football, baby.
This is The Boss.
I come shot like a blow.
In the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
Pre-draft show special.
With the first pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars select.
Presented by Famous Smoke Shop. You want the best in cigars, you go to Famous Smoke Shop. FamousSmoke.com. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Good afternoon and welcome to the NFL Draft Special. I'm David Gal. I've got Carla Dawson next to me and Andrew Carlson behind the glass. We're all reunited here for this special.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Indeed it does. The draft to begin in just under 2 hours. Hard to believe we're here after all the hype, all the rumors, all the mock drafts. We're finally going to know what will go down in just under 2 hours.
I know. I am so excited about this. I think we're going to see a lot of moving and shaking in the top 15, and I think there could be a lot of trades going down. I feel like energy has picked up today.
Well, there are certainly a lot of rumors floating around. And certainly at the top of the list is that Deshaun Watson might actually get traded before the draft or part of the draft. Whispers that maybe he'll go to the 49ers for the number 3 pick overall and some other things. There's now noise that Aaron Rodgers is unhappy in Green Bay. And if that's the case, should the Packers consider moving him prior to the draft or part of this draft?
And the timing of the Aaron Rodgers thing is interesting. I mean, Deshaun Watson has been saying for months the Texans' mistake was not trading him when he wanted to, because now they're dealing with, obviously, the 22 allegations of sexual assault and all of that. So the haul for him is going to be much less than it would have been. But Aaron Rodgers' timing is interesting to me.
Fascinating.
We have not heard. We've known he's been disgruntled. That's not a secret. We've also known that the president, the GM, and the head coach have flown out separately to talk with him in the offseason. But this is saying he doesn't want to return to the team, coming out on draft day. What does this tell you?
Well, we have an all-star cast who will unpack that question and all things NFL draft. We've got former GM and head coach Mike Sherman coming up next, Howard Balzer later, Lance Zierlein of the NFL Network. We've got a great group. Next hour, we'll have Dan Shank of Arledz. It's going to be a great crowd. We really will have a great time tonight unpacking the draft. But coming up next will be Mike Sherman, former GM and head coach of the Packers. We're going to ask him about the fate of Aaron Rodgers. Up next.
Listening to the Boss and the Gloss pre-draft show special on the SportsMap Radio Network, presented by Famous Smoke Shop. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it is great to be here. An NFL draft special. We are previewing the draft, which is just 2 hours away. And then when the draft starts, be sure to stay with SportsMap Radio this evening, because Jake Aspin and Cole Thompson, we'll have all the pick-by-pick analysis. Tonight's NFL draft coverage on SportsMap Radio is brought to you by your friends at Famous Smoke Shop. Famous Smoke Shop has 80 years' experience and over 8,000 brands to choose from. When you go to FamousSmoke.com, you'll get 20% off your purchase of $99 or more. Just use promo code 20 for you. That's 20 and the letters FORYOU, and go get a great smoke.
Which is a great night to do it. Lots to celebrate, especially for these first 32 families as lives are going to change.
So we have talked about this. I mean, 2 years ago, we were in Nashville for the NFL draft experience, which was fabulous.
And
Nashville was a great host city. And, of course, we've also been at Radio Row, the week that exists before the NFL Super Bowl. And I really think the draft experience, everything that happens, the 2 to 3 days around the draft, is almost better than the Super Bowl in this sense. I'm not talking about the game itself, but just the pre-hype. Because in Nashville, there were fans of every team there. Everybody comes with hope. Maybe this is the night that the team finally picks somebody who will put their team over the top. And so there's a whole lot of hope tonight and a whole lot of excitement about what's going to unfold this evening.
And it's such a different animal than the Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl, you've got your two teams there represented.
Only two, right.
Yeah. And obviously football fans from all over who want to go to Super Bowls, yes. But you're right. The energy at the draft is contagious. And it's just nonstop because you've got – and everybody's geared up and all their stuff. And we had so much fun walking the streets of Nashville. It was amazing. And then afterwards, you know, as these guys are – you know, we watched the first round live and having them come off that stage and to get to see them in the room and ask them questions and hear how their lives are just like their lives literally change with their name being called by Roger Goodell.
Well, they can count a lot of dollars going into their bank account the minute their name is
all
called.
All the first rounders, sure.
It's a really big deal. All those first rounders certainly get a big payday. Now, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is the former general manager and head coach of the Packers, Mike Sherman. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
How you guys doing?
Well, we are great, and it is fitting that we would have you. Great timing, because we want to ask you about the breaking news that came out this afternoon that Aaron Rodgers is going to ask the Packers to be traded. This is your former team. Are you surprised by this development?
Somewhat, because I thought, again, I haven't been with Aaron for a while now, but it seemed like they had a really good time this past season. The organization and Aaron playing and winning football games. So I'm a little bit surprised that came out today.
Well, especially coming off of an MVP season, I think that's rare. When you get to that level and then you say, I don't want to play for you anymore. What do you think about the timing, Mike, of it happening actually today?
Well, I think it's kind of a leverage situation where the Packers, maybe Aaron's trying to give them a chance to do things knowing that he won't be there. And so they would draft accordingly. Obviously, last year they took a quarterback, but maybe Aaron's giving them a heads up and saying, whatever you have to do for the draft, so I think Jim Brown was the last one to win an MVP and then not return to his team. So Aaron's in good company there.
Yeah, he sure is. And Mike, let me ask you this. So, you know, obviously it's not news that Aaron Rodgers has been disgruntled, you know, since the draft last year when the Packers traded up to take quarterback Jordan Love. Do you think you've had a GM hat in Green Bay as well as a head coach hat as well? Do you think that quarterbacks should have some say in the draft? Like Aaron said, you know, I wanted to know about that before it happened. Do you? And you know, that's part of the complaint with Deshaun Watson in Houston as well. Heard about the DeAndre Hopkins trade via social media. How do you feel about your franchise guy, your signal caller, wanting to know about things before they happen?
Well, I think every quarterback wants to surround himself with the best players possible, and sometimes that may not be what the team needs at that time. They may need a pass rush. They may need a shutdown corner, and obviously a quarterback who's looking to be the MVP of the league possibly and also win a Super Bowl is going to try to do his best for the offense. So I think it's a tough position. If they're going to go up there and sit there and watch all the tapes like the coaches do and the scouts do, then maybe that's a little bit different story, but that's endless hours of watching tape and trying to decide what's best for your team. I think the bottom line is just that. Every GM, every head coach wants to do what's best for the football team, and obviously last year they thought that was their best move, and to get a player, I guess they felt that draft point, just like when Aaron was drafted, that they felt that he would help the team in the future. But I can understand Aaron's frustration, and I can also understand why the Packers did what they did.
We're talking to former general manager and head coach of the Packers, Mike Sherman. Okay, Carla raised Deshaun Watson, and Nick Caserio, the new general manager of the Texans, obviously was put in a really tough spot. First, that he had a quarterback that wanted to be traded, and now that a quarterback who has had legal troubles. What do the Texans do with this situation? I mean, you've been a general manager. How would you handle this if you were Nick Caserio? There are whispers that he might get traded tonight, But then they may be trading him for subpar value in light of all the issues legally.
Well, because of the legal issues, which you have to really research and make a decision based on the information in front of you at that time, because of those legal issues, I do think the draft pick would be a lot less than what he's worth. So yeah. I would probably hang on to him and hope for the best at this point. And maybe protect myself in a later round with a draftable quarterback.
When we look at the quarterbacks coming out, there's been a lot of discussion around what the 49ers will do. Mac Jones has been the front runner, but a lot of people don't see him as the best quarterback for number three. What's your take on the five quarterbacks? How do you stack rank them?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't really ranked him, and I feel I would be giving you some misinformation if I told you who was the best. I haven't sat and watched quarterbacks like we used to. In the old days, I learned this from Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren. You always want to research all the quarterbacks, and you watch film on the top 10 quarterbacks and rank them accordingly. And even if you're not even taking a quarterback, much like the case in 2005, when we took Aaron, weren't expecting him to be there. But you want to be able to have a feeling for all the quarterbacks. So if someday you get in a situation, maybe like Houston is right now, or maybe like the 49ers are trying to find a quarterback, you've done all your previous research and you're ready to hopefully watch some current film and make a move on a quarterback. But I'd be remiss if I told you the rankings of the quarterbacks because I really haven't studied them.
Well, we're about to see it unfold in a few hours anyway. Mike, I do think you've got a little insight. You might be able to give us some inside information on the Cincinnati Bengals as your son-in-law is the head coach. What are they going to do? I know that Joe Burrow wants Ja'Marr Chase. They really need to protect Joe Burrow. Penei Sewell would look really nice in a Bengals uniform. What are you thinking they're going to do?
Well, I just got off the phone with my daughter, and we talked about my four grandkids up there, and my oldest grandson's playing very good football in the backyard while she was watching them, and threw a couple touchdown passes, and that's as far as I got with the information. The draft is such a secretive and close-vested process that you don't let much get outside the draft room, and such is the case in Cincinnati as well, I'm sure, just like everybody else. So I can't tell you what they're going to do. I do have a lot of respect for Joe Burrow and what he brought to the Bengals last year, and also what he did at LSU. He seems like everything he's advertised to be, it seems like he's that and more. So I know when talking to Zach, he can't say enough great things about Joe and what he brings to the team, not just as an athlete and a quarterback, but as a person and a leader. And that's what the Bengals needed.
Yeah, it looks like they've found themselves a great head coach and a great young quarterback. The trajectory is up for the Bengals. This is Mike Sherman, former head coach and general manager of the Packers. Mike, really appreciate your joining us here on this draft special evening.
Yeah, you guys have a good night, and you'll probably be up late tonight. So
yes, we will.
We're excited for it. Thanks. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Coming up next will be Howard Balzer. He is the host of Biggs and Balzer, which airs here on the Sports Map Radio Network weekend from 1 to 3 Eastern. And he also covers the Cardinals for Sports Illustrated. So we'll ask him what the Cardinals are going to do with the 16th pick. Howard Balzer up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Boss and the Gloss pre-draft show special on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Famous Smoke Shop. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Keeping your car clean is simple with inexpensive maintenance that can help your car looking like new. O'Reilly Auto Parts has car wash and wax for painted services, as well as interior care products like for leather and vinyl, carpet and upholstery cleaner. Visit O'Reilly for Clean Car Month, and their professional parts people will make sure you get the best detailing products for your vehicle. Shop your local store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is the great Howard Balzer. Howard, welcome onto the show. You're on with David and Carla.
David and Carla, how you doing? Great to be with you on, there's not a lot going on today, but what the heck,
yeah,
we'll see if we can figure something out.
Day.
It is a special night indeed, NFL draft special, and no one better to have on than our friend Howard Balzer. Howard, of course, hosts the show Biggs and Balzer, which airs weekends 1 to 3 Eastern on the Sports Map Radio Network. He also covers the Cards for Sports Illustrated. So let's begin with the Cardinals. They pick at 16. What do you envision the Cardinals will do this evening?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because sitting where you are, it's kind of no man's land, which, of course, is the case for a lot of the teams that are picking from the middle of the round on because you just don't know what is going to develop in front of you. And I think the Cardinals are hoping that one of the two top cornerbacks are going to be there. And that's a flip of the coin whether they will be. Some mock drafts have J.C. Horn lasting to them. Some do not. Patrick Surtain, I believe one of them, I think he'll be definitely gone. Horn, you never know. What the Cardinals are hoping for is overall is that with perhaps five quarterbacks in the top 15, we don't know if that'll materialize, but it's possible, two or three wide receivers, couple tackles, and then, of course, the tight end, Kyle Pitts, they're hoping that as with those players being selected, that pushes someone to them that they really like and would be available. And that's why they're hoping for Horn. If it's not Horn, I mean, I'd be shocked. I guess you'd never be shocked by anything that happens in the draft. But I'd be surprised if Horn's there and they don't take him because they need cornerbacks badly. If he's not there, man, I'll tell you, I think bets are off on what they might do. Might they take the next corner on their board?
Well,
yeah, whether it's Caleb Farley or Greg Newsom.
Yeah, too bad because Caleb Farley would have been a great option there if he didn't have the health issue.
Of course, if he didn't have the health issue, maybe he would be gone before
That's
anyway.
Right, yeah.
But then you have to see to the doctors, you know, what they think. And when it's close between players that are rated together, then a lot of times you're going to go with the guy that, quote, is a little bit of a safer pick. But I know I'm fairly certain they like Greg Newsom II of Northwestern.
Yep.
At 16, don't know if they do. So it's possible they could trade down and hope to still get the cornerback. Of course, the whole issue with that is everyone says, well, oh, you got to trade down. Well, you have to find a team that's willing to trade up. And so if the corner isn't there and they are sitting in that spot, I think it could be a number of different things. If one of those three receivers is still available, and some think Devontae Smith might last that long, they might be tempted to take him. An edge rusher like Azeez Ojulari, I think a perfect fit for the Cardinals 3-4 outside as a 3-4 outside linebacker in their scheme would be an excellent selection. Who knows? Maybe an offensive lineman, but I think it's going to be very, like I said, very intriguing to see what is there when it comes to their time to pick, and then what they decide to do if it's not a cornerback.
What if, Howard, Micah Parsons is still sitting there for some reason at 16? Is that something y'all would grab? Is that someone you'd take right away?
You know, I've seen that name mentioned a whole lot, but I think, if anything, the Cardinals are looking more potentially for a linebacker on the outside. Now, it doesn't mean Parsons wouldn't be a good choice for them, and you can never have too many good players. So, yeah, you could always say it's a possibility, but I think if the number one pass rusher, and that's what Ojulari could be at the outside linebacker spot. He could be the number. Of course, Parsons might be the number one overall linebacker on the board, but it would probably be pretty close between him and Ojulari. But to get a guy who's a pure pass rusher, and we know how important rushing the passer is in the NFL, my sense is they would lean more towards the pass rusher than Parsons. Although obviously he's going to help, I would think, whatever team he ends up with.
Well, my Raiders pick right after you, and I think Parsons would be great there. So if you don't take him, I'm okay with that. I think you've got other good choices.
Yeah, set him aside for Carla. She'll be happy when she comes in tomorrow morning.
All right.
Okay.
You're fine getting him, Carla.
I'm fine getting him. Yeah, I'll concede to that.
Three fascinating picks. The pick number three with the 49ers. Pick number four, the decision that they've got to make it for
Atlanta. Yeah,
that Atlanta will make is probably the beginning of the draft. And then you've got number five with the Bengals. Who goes 3, 4, and 5 in this draft?
the three is obviously wide open because so many think that they know what the 49ers are going to do.
Yep.
But the reality is no one truly knows. I always love to go back to the great quote from Jim Mora Sr., who once said, of course, he always had that famous quote in a press conference where he go, "Playoffs? Playoffs? We just want to win a game." But he had another one at another point where he kind of excoriated the media and said, you know, a lot of you guys, you think you know, but you don't really know. You just don't know. And there's so many people who think they know what the 49ers are going to do, but the only ones who know are them. And so if it was me, I would take Justin Fields because I believe he's the second best quarterback in this draft, and I remain perplexed that all these other guys in the eyes of the evaluators, we don't know what the teams think. We don't know how all – and I've always said this. If you took all these, I'll say the four quarterbacks after Trevor Lawrence, if you asked every team that ranked their players on their board and asked them for their order of those four quarterbacks, you'd get a whole lot of different orders because that's how teams view it. Every team views it differently than another one. But I think overall Justin Fields is a number two guy. But these other guys in the eyes, like I said, of the outsiders have seemingly jumped ahead of him, like Zach Wilson, like Trey Lance, like Mac Jones. So, but will they take Fields? I don't know. Kyle Shanahan is going to pick the guy that he believes is the best fit for his offense and going forward and hopes to have him healthy and playing well for 10 years. So that definitely sets the stage for what happens next, although whichever quarterback is taken, that leaves those two other higher-rated guys to see what happens after that. Does somebody take a quarterback? So I'll go to Atlanta. Some say, well, do they draft a guy to take over for Matt Ryan down the road? I don't know that I would do that if I was the Falcons. They could, but I think Matt Ryan's still got a lot of good football ahead of him.
Too.
And I hear analysts say this. I see analysts say this. Well, if you don't get the quarterback this year, then you might not be able to next year because who knows who's in the draft. Well, the point is you don't know. But I can say this. There will be three or four quarterbacks next year that are rated at the top of the draft because it happens every year.
It does.
If anyone had told you last year that Mac Jones or the guys I just mentioned – except for Justin Fields and Lawrence, if any of those other three guys, if anyone had told you last year they'd be considered top five picks, he'd have said, no, you're crazy. What are you talking about? So it will happen in college football that other quarterbacks will move to the top. So if I'm the Falcons, I go in a different direction. I either take Kyle Pitts to come in and just add to that offensive arsenal that they have, maybe a tackle, one of the top tackles, or trade down. If there's a team that is willing to trade up and get one of those quarterbacks, then I'd say, okay, make the best deal you can and get a whole bunch of other picks, additional picks, to help you, depending if you don't trade down too far. Then we get to Cincinnati, but I think it'll probably be Pitts, but it could go in a few different directions. Then Cincinnati takes either a wide receiver or the top tackle they have on the board. Could be Ja'Marr Chase to go to be with his former quarterback Joe Burrow, or it could be Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle, very good tackle. It's one of those two, and there's mixed opinion on that. Get the receiver, big play guy, or do you get that blind side protector for Joe Burrow that you definitely want so he's not taking the hits that he did, and they definitely have a needed tackle. So that's where I see those next three picks going in however order it might be, but – you know, the wild card is the 49ers and which quarterback, and then are there trades after that?
Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. It will all unfold in less than 2 hours, and I understand you'll be joining our draft coverage later when we've got Jake Asman on with Cole Thompson. So everybody stay tuned. You'll get to hear more from Howard Balzer next hour. Howard, thank you so much for joining David and Carla here.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Have a good night.
Great to have you. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Lance Zierlein of the NFL Network. He is one of the top draft analysts. And he's been very vocal that he thinks the 49ers are overrating Mac Jones, whom he views as perhaps a quality backup and a weak starter. It'll be Lance Zierlein. We'll get his perspectives on Mac Jones up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Boss and the Gloss pre-draft show special on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Famous Smoke Shop. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, everybody. We're about an hour and 20 minutes from the draft starting.
I'm counting.
So just in time, we get NFL Network draft analyst Lance Zierlein in studio. Fabulous to have you here, Lance. Welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Yeah, it's great being here in person this time.
Yeah, we got the legend, the expert, the leading draft expert. Here we are, who looks at 500 prospects.
Yeah.
And you're here to give us all the skinny.
Yeah. What do you need to know? Okay. I only did 470 this year, by the way.
Oh,
it's a little different year.
You had a weak year. Yeah, it is a different year.
It's a different year. A lot of people went back to school, and I realized anybody I write up now, like if I haven't found them yet, I'm not going to find them because the only players who were left were guys who weren't going to get drafted for sure.
And, yep.
You know, there's only 250, 60, 30, whatever it is, who even get drafted. So I usually write up double the amount of people who get drafted.
Yeah. You're right. Well, let me ask you about that, Lance. This is a weird year. I mean, we've got opt-outs, guys who've opted out because of COVID concerns for whatever it may be, their own, their family, and also schools where as student athletes that their schools didn't have a season. How do you evaluate kids like that? This is so weird. We haven't
had
the number of this before.
Yeah, so it's tough. It depends on the player. Like, I'll give you an example in the first round. So we have Rashawn Slater, who has plenty of years at Northwestern. NFL evaluators have plenty of tape to take a look at him. And you see who he is. You know who he is. He worked out at his pro day. You kind of know who he is. He's played a lot of football, relatively speaking. I think 3 years as a starter. Ja'Marr Chase, we saw him with a national championship run with LSU. And so while we only got to see him play 2 years, we still feel like we know Ja'Marr Chase fairly well. Micah Parsons, the same thing can be said for him, linebacker from Penn State. But then you get a guy like Gregory Rousseau or Caleb Farley, and Caleb Farley is probably going to fall in the draft due to medical concerns. But Gregory Rousseau, who was a defensive end at Miami, he played just 1 year, and he had really good production, tackles for loss and sacks. But he, you know, it wasn't always at defensive end. Like, they'd move him inside and places where he won't rush in the NFL. And he's made the switch over from the offensive side where he was a receiver to defensive end. So we only have 1 year of tape. He opted out. So no one had seen him play football other than for 1 year. And then he doesn't have a great pro day workout. And so that's going to hurt him because the only thing we have is, okay, we've got this tape. Then you didn't play this year. And then when you worked out, it wasn't that great. So our lasting memory, there is no recency bias in his favor. It works against him. And so I think some of the players who opted out who are not already spectacular established talents, they are potentially going to be hurt by the opt-out and frankly, a lack of games for the Big Ten and especially the Pac-12
right. When
it comes to COVID.
We're talking to draft analyst for the NFL Network, Lance Zierlein. Lance, I want to ask you about Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Do you see the Texans moving him this evening?
No, I don't think they can. No team would. You know, if a team made an offer to you, it would be 30 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
The Texans, the right move is to sit tight and let things play out. And once there's some finality, once there is a known quantity of games that he will be suspended, because that's the assumption, then teams can really make determination, and you can make a determination about what that commodity is worth. If you're selling, you know, it's like selling a home. I mean, if you're going to do it right now, it's very much would be a buyer's market, and it wouldn't make any sense for the Texans to do that. So what would make the most sense is wait until after June 1st. It lowers their cap hit that they would have if they trade Deshaun Watson, which I think they will trade Deshaun Watson. And then from there, you can see how things shaped up in the draft, and then maybe a team is going to be more willing to say, look, we'll trade for Deshaun Watson right now once we know that he's got a six-game suspension. Like, that may be tenable to a team that says six games, four games, not the eight games, a full year. You can't really make a good trade determination of value. I mean, you always know what the undercut number is, but if you're the Texans, you can't really come up with a number that you feel like is proper value, because this is we're in pretty uncharted territory, frankly.
And speaking of Deshaun Watson, so when he came out in the draft, he had just come off a national championship at Clemson, 3 years, you know, of amazing college ball, and really dropped pretty far in the draft from where, I mean, as the closer we got to the draft, the more he dropped.
You know, well, you never heard about him. No one ever talked about where Deshaun Watson was going to go.
Which was weird, and I don't know if that was because it was coming out of Clemson at that time or what it was. Do you think that Justin Fields – I'm so perplexed by what has gone on with Justin Fields. I mean, a year ago, if you said to me that Zach Wilson and Trey Lance are going ahead of Justin Fields, I would say, wait, let me check who these guys are. Like, what are you talking about? Is it the same type of thing that happened with Deshaun Watson where there's just – but there's so much talk about Justin Fields? Or is it the Dwayne Haskins factor – I mean, look what happened when he came out of Ohio State.
I think it's a little of both. I mean, number one, our perceptions of where guys are going to be drafted are shaped by our knowledge of the players from just watching TV and also from what the media says. And the media is not doing deep dives generally on an entire class. It takes time to do that. I know for a fact because I do it. I work in mainstream media and I work in niche media of the draft. And it's two very different things. I mean you know, the mainstream media, you talk about just the most, you know, when I do NFL Network, we'll talk about, okay, let's play the hits. You know, we're talking quarterbacks again. And that's the way it works. But then when it comes to teams evaluating talent, just because you always hear the talking heads talk about this player, this guy's the player, the teams who are actually doing the homework, a lot of times will have a different interpretation based on the tape that they watch, the comments that they get from the previous staff, their interviews with players, the medicals on players that and the personality profiles that the public is not privy to and really shouldn't be privy to. So that's how you have a difference. Now, I do think there could be there's a possibility that some of the Deshaun Watson, which is, here's a guy who put 200 or 400 yards of total offense on Alabama 2 years in a row, won a national championship. And then he got nitpicked, I mean, by everyone, including me, because we saw so much. When you have so much tape, it's, okay, yeah, we know about the good stuff, but what does he not do well? Well, that's a mistake, because what you should ask is, what does a guy do well? So what you should be asking with Justin Fields is, what does he do well? What is he really good at? What will he do that will benefit him in the NFL? And if your list isn't quite as long as you thought, okay, then that's who he might be. But if you always try to focus on the negative stuff, sometimes the negative stuff is coachable. And sometimes the negative stuff, like with Pat Mahomes making bad decisions in college, it's an offshoot of who was around him and what the coach is asking him to do and things like that. Yeah. Because Pat Mahomes also.
Exactly. You know,
they traded up for Mahomes at 10, and Deshaun got traded up for at 12, and they're both substantially better than Mitchell Trubisky.
I was just going to say, question about Mitchell Trubisky. Ryan Pace, GM in Chicago, is he brave enough to make up for what he did in 2017? Are they going to take a quarterback? Are they going to trade up for one? I mean, they've got Andy Dalton, but I don't think they're thinking he's their
guy. You know, I don't think they will. It's too far. The move's too far, but to be able to do that. But the question needs to be asked, okay, if you guys were hot and heavy on Russell Wilson, will you be hot and heavy on Deshaun Watson when and if he is available in the offseason? And so teams like if New England comes out without a quarterback tonight, will New England be trying to angle for Deshaun Watson? Will Carolina look to do that in the future? Will a team like – will the Denver Broncos, if they don't have a quarterback? Because Drew Locke, if they don't get a quarterback tonight, what they could be saying is, we're going to wait it out and we're going to go after Deshaun Watson again next year. And I know they're one of the teams that is potentially hot on Aaron Rodgers, who's now – requested a trade. So it's kind of crazy.
Timing?
Yeah, it's pretty wild for him to do that right now. He's carried a grudge for a long time and it finally spilled over, I think.
Yeah, and the Washington football team's another one that really needs to figure,
they need
quarterback
too. Yeah, so just because Deshaun Watson is not going to go necessarily tonight, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a market for him in the offseason. You just might not know what the draft standing is for that particular team. And if Deshaun plays, he's going to make them better. If he doesn't play, then that team is probably going to have a hard time winning football games. So I would look for him to get traded, but not until before the season and not until after everything is resolved.
We're talking to draft analyst for the NFL Network, Lance Zierlein. So today the Saints GM, Mickey Loomis, came out and said he'd love to trade up, and whispers are they'd love to trade into the top 10, but they are way back in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility that the Saints can get into 10, and what would they be looking for?
You know, they've just been – I think they'd be looking for one of the top-tier wide receivers or a quarterback. That's the only two things I can think of. There's really nothing else. And if you're looking for a receiver, then that just means that you may be willing to part with – Mike Thomas, because they've had, you know, Mike Thomas has been, it's kind of been a rocky relationship
especially
over the last year.
Yeah.
And then with no Drew Brees there, I could see it getting a little rockier, frankly, if the quarterback play is unsteady. If you were to trade up into the top 10, you'd have to move a guy like Mike Thomas. You just don't have the draft capital because you've done this too much. The Saints have, there's eventually a credit card bill that has to be paid, and that draft pick expenditure, like we've seen with the Texans, you're paying for those bills last year and this year where you see, and I tried to warn people, like, I know you're excited about getting Laremy Tunsil now, but this is really going to be painful in the future. And then when the DeAndre Hopkins move and they didn't get enough, all you're doing is making it more difficult to rebuild a team. And so New Orleans has continued to go for it. They keep going for it by moving picks and trying to move up and things like that, like they did with Marcus Davenport a couple years ago. And eventually, and the Bears have done some of that too, and eventually it catches up with you, because if you don't hit 100% on those picks, you don't have draft capital to...
You've given up a lot.
Yeah, you really have.
So we've got about a minute more. I want to ask you, who do you think is going to surprise us tonight? What team is going to make a pick that we'll all be scratching our head about tomorrow?
I think Jacksonville could.
That's what I think.
Yeah, they've got... So here's a college coach in Urban Meyer.
Yep.
He's got a staff full of guys that he brought, many with college backgrounds. I think there's a tight end, Pat Freiermuth, who no one's been talking about in the first round.
Hmm.
And I had somebody in the NFL tell me, hey, keep an eye for Freiermuth to Jacksonville. I said, why? Really? That seems a little early. He said, his tight ends coach at Penn State was hired by Urban Meyer this year. And it's those kind of connections you really need to watch
they
for.
Matter.
Because usually you draft who you know. You bring in who you know because you want that comfort level when you're a coach, especially when you're starting a new job. So I think you could see Urban Meyer do some things like draft players that he recruited at Ohio State.
Yep.
Draft a player who has a relationship with a coach who's on his staff. And that might not jibe with what the mock drafts are telling you.
And they've got, what, 5 picks in the first 68?
Yeah, they have a
Something
lot.
Something crazy.
They have a lot, yeah.
And they're going to sign Tim Tebow as their tight end.
Yeah, how about the Tebow talk? Finally, we can get some Tebow talk going. It's been so long.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at the last hour, and we're going to revisit the most provocative thing we've heard in this first hour.
It's all coming out of Lance.
It's all coming out of Lance, for sure. That'll be up next when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Boss and the Gloss pre-draft show special on the Sports Map Radio Network. Presented by Famous Smoke Shop. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
It was great to have Lance Erline with us in the last segment. And let's go back and say what's the most provocative thing we heard in the first hour from all of our guests, when you include Mike Sherman we had Howard Balzer, then Lance Erline. To me, it was Lance's comment that Deshaun Watson will not be traded tonight, that the Texans are going to hold on to him, and he's likely to get traded after the June 1st pay moment.
I'm right there with you. I think that's a fascinating, and Lance made, you know, explained it out that it'll be less of a cap hit after June 1st. But yes, so your trade-off is less of a cap hit or moving up in the draft. The Texans don't have a pick until the third round again.
Well, and this has been a really long saga.
Oh,
it started obviously before the legal issues when Deshaun just said, I'm done here. I don't want to be part of the team. And so for the Texans, I think in the city of Houston where we are broadcasting from, there's a feeling that it's time to just move on. How refreshing would it be if the Texans were to trade Deshaun, get a bevy of draft picks, maybe the quarterback of the future if it were Tua with the Dolphins, and then they could have a fresh start, a new narrative? Because what's the narrative of this team going to be 30 days from now, 60 days from now? There won't be any real basis on which they can market to the fan base that there's reason to come in and watch the Texans this fall.
No, you're right. I think they missed their window of opportunity. I mean, Nick Caserio comes in. Obviously, this is not his fault to how the organization hired him. This is not his fault that DeAndre Hopkins left for nothing and Deshaun found out about it over social media. The bridges were burned before Nick Caserio stepped in the building. Where Nick Caserio made the mistake was playing hardball and saying, we're not listening to any trades, because the phones were ringing off the hook. Deshaun Watson was coming off the best season of his career, NFL leading in passing yards, everything. He decides not to do it, and now look what he's got. A month later, he's dealing with someone with 22, you know, allegations against him. It's a mess, and the haul is going to be much, much less. What would have, could have been one of the biggest hauls of a trade ever in NFL history is now going to be pedestrian because Caserio needed to play hardball.
Yeah, it would have been fascinating to see what kind of package would have been delivered for Deshaun Watson. It would have been historic. It would have been right up there with the Herschel Walker type trade.
He's 25. Like, he's so young and he's so talented. And wow. And now it's going to be less. So I say, you know, that's kind of on the Texans for playing hardball when they shouldn't have.
All right. When we come back, there have been some important trades like the Teddy Bridgewater trade and some important signings like Antonio Brown signing. We're going to look at them and their impact on the draft when we return. You're listening to a draft special of The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.